Man, I love my side gig. What's better than sitting down with a cuppa and chatting footy with a young star of the Forge FC? Learning about honing your craft in five-side football in the UK? Becoming a cultured sophisticate? And potentially the benefits of adding hot yoga to your weekly routine? If any of this sounds interesting to you, you're going to love this episode of the Hammer of Sparks pod as I sit down with Malik Owolabi Bellewu. We had a lot of fun. I'm sure you're going to too. So get your cup of tea and let's dive in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hammer of Sparks podcast. Today, we have an exciting young guest with us. So I'll let, without any further ado, I'll let him introduce himself. Let us know who you are.
Hi, guys. It's Malik Owolabi Bellewu here. Number 81 from Forge, the center back.
Yeah. Fantastic. Exciting center back from Forge. And that's one of the questions I'm going to ask you. And of course, because I knew I was interviewing you today, a Londoner, I decided to have my cup of tea ready for today to take this seriously.
I love it.
So tell me, let's get started actually with a little bit of your background. You're like London squared, London times two, because you're born in London, England, but raised here in London, Ontario. So tell me a little bit about your background coming from the UK and what it was like growing up here in Ontario.
So I was born in London, England. I lived there till about 13 years old. And then my mother and my two younger brothers and I moved to Canada. We were originally in Mississauga for maybe like a month. And then we moved to London, Ontario. And then we were there for about 3 years before moving to Toronto for a year. But it was a great time.
So where were the origins of your soccer background? Where were they built? Were you already playing soccer pretty seriously in London before you moved to Canada, or did you start as a soccer player here in Canada?
I played like what our version of rep soccer would, or Canadian, Canada's version of rep soccer would be in England.
Right.
I'd say that the level I was playing at, there was a lot of players that ended up pushing on to academy, so it was a pretty decent level. Yeah, I'd say I started at 4 years old. I just like fell in love with the game as most people do. I actually had an uncle that played and he was pretty good. So it was like seeing him play, being around friends and everyone at school that played football as well. Like it was just a thing that we do. So it was bound to be, you know, a part of my life at some point. But yeah, 4 years old, it was just like kicking around on the street football, playing with friends. And then around 10 years old is when I like just played for my first like proper team.
Right.
Before, it was looking more like I was going to be a dancer, actually.
It was looking like you're going to be a what, sorry?
Dancer.
Really?
Yeah.
How close were we to coming to finding you on the performing in theaters and things all over? What kind of dance were you doing?
It was, so my mom put me in like I don't know if it was a course, but it was like a kind of camp thing.
Right.
And there was like all different styles. So there was contemporary hip hop. I think there was even a bit of ballet in it. It was just like a taste of everything, to be fair. And then I realized I wasn't ready for that life when it came to the final choreography that we performed in front of all like our friends and family. They gave me a solo, and I just remember going up to the front for my solo and freezing. And then I said, yeah, I'm not doing it. You know, like the Simpsons meme where like he kind of like sinks into the bush. That's what I did quite literally in front of all my friends and family. I said, yeah, it's not for me.
That might not be the career for you, huh? But now, you know, expectations have just, that bar has been set for goal celebrations now though. We're going to expect you to make that comeback with those dance moves.
Oh, 100%. Now dancing in front of people is not really as frightening as it used to be. So yeah, me and Benny will have some stuff going. Garvin.
I've talked to Garvin before and I've seen you guys, you and Benny getting it done. So I'm really looking forward to the dance floor this year.
Sounds good.
All right. So actually that's normally a question I dive into to ask people like what made you fall in love with footy. But you said like right from a young age, 4 years old, just being out in the street with your friends. And I feel like that's usually the way it starts, right? It's just an organic thing with just playing with your friends out in the street and then grows from there.
Yeah, 100%. I'd say for me, I think that was the best way for it to happen, in a sense. Like, I've had friends that, their family have been around it, or their family played of a certain, caliber growing up, and then they kind of forced it on them. And I've had friends that have, it's worked out, they've stayed on that path. But I've also had friends that have been like, oh, you know what, like, I don't really think it's for me. So there wasn't really any pressure from family to play. And I think it was better that it was just something that I found and decided to fall in love with.
I absolutely love hearing from all the different players, their different ways of getting into it. And the fact that it was kind of your thing kind of makes it a little bit more special, right?
Yeah, 100%.
All right. So Dumping, you've been a little bit all over the world here. So you've got some football culture to you. Having come from the UK and then going back to the UK to train and be invited to academies and stuff there, and then playing in Italy. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to play overseas and what you picked up both on the pitch and culturally from being overseas.
I'd say, let's start with the UK. There's obviously that kind of grit and determination that you get. As you know, football in the UK is like the biggest thing. Everyone wants to do it. It's so competitive. So you have to kind of have that grit to keep being resilient and to keep going and working hard. And then also just from the style of football over there as well, it's very physical. It's very athletic as well as, technical. So I learned how to play in that kind of sense, and I'd say it wasn't even in academies that I learned the most. I'd say it'd be this place called Goals. It's like a five-a-side thing. You can go with a bunch of friends or a bunch of players, pay £5 and play. And I'd say that's where like I learned the most, being at those types of sessions with like top caliber players that were in academies or playing professionally. But like those environments for me were the best, because you're learning how to play small-sided against people pressing you. They know what to do as well because they're playing at a high level. So those games for me were the best times, and those are what I cherish from being back in the UK. Every time I go back, I have to get at least, a few sessions of those in, because it's just so fun. And then yeah, going to Italy, I feel like that kind of like great determination, resilience that I learned in the UK helped me when it came to playing in Italy, where it's like they play a niche type of football, if that makes sense. Like slower pace, they pick out their passes, very tactical, more chess-like. But me being like the physical defender that I am, it kind of helped me where it's like, okay, I could show them that I know how to win the ball and can be dominant and aggressive in that manner, but then can also help them on the ball and play. I'd say that's where I really like realize that, okay, this is something I can do to a high level when I went to Italy. I was playing around a lot of good players. Some are now playing in the Serie A, some are playing Serie B or playing in Europe. So yeah, that was a big learning curve for me, that whole Italian culture, not even on the football side as well, on the lifestyle side,
Okay,
learning the
that's what I'm dying to know. Tell me a little bit about, because obviously I love hearing about the football side of it, and I think as football fans we all want to hear that, but there's so much more to like playing football in another place. Like, sure, it's big names and it's Serie A, Serie B, it's amazing being over there, but what's it like culturally to try and fit in there as well as on the pitch?
I'd say I didn't get to experience as much of the culture as I wanted to, because it was during COVID time, so things were still a little bit slow. But from what I did experience, like the food wise, it was amazing. I know Canadians are big on coffee. Me myself, I'm not, but the coffee over there is something that everyone raves about. But yeah, the food, me, I'm a food guy. Like, I'm a foodie. So being over there, getting all types of different cuisine was nice, and it was like my first time having it. In a proper traditional way, if that makes sense, like proper Italian cuisine.
Yeah, like especially because when you're in Italy, like each region has something that they're proud of and known for and stuff like that. So being able to have the proper prepared way, not like our kind of our version, Americanized or Canadianized version of stuff, it must have been something really different.
100%. And then also the language as well, like learning the language. I'm pretty thankful for Spal, that they had a tutor for us. Although at times waking up at 8 a.m. to go to basically school was kind of suck, if I'm being honest. But like in the long run, it's m like really been beneficial for me. I'm able to communicate with anyone that speaks Italian now fluently. and they helped me learn it in less than a year, and it helped me on and off the pitch. So that standpoint alone as well was huge.
You just become an instant fan favorite in Hamilton. We have a massive Italian community, soccer fans. In fact, the Forge Fanatics fan page is run by Tony Acavello, an Italian Canadian. Who I now I'm sure you just skyrocketed to the top of the list of fan favorites
Yeah,
here.
no, there's a couple of Italians on the team. Alessio, I'm sorry, Alessandro had jobbed before, and then Schiavoni. Matteo came from a similar path as me, where he played Primavera in Italy as well. So me and him communicate all the time in Italian. It's pretty cool. We live together as well, so.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a way to create a bonding from, obviously all of you guys are footballers that want to, succeed, and you've all got similar goals, but to have that bonding thing immediately, to be able to be roommates and spend that extra time and have that extra connection. Tell me a little bit more about the connection that you have with the Italian players.
So Alessandro, me and him came to the club at the same time, so we've always had a pretty decent connection. He's also plays right in front of me, so that was something that was bound to happen. I like his like demeanor. He's a very like laid back, chilled guy, always sees the best in every situation. Sometimes it
Amazing.
baffles me, but it's a great way of thinking. And then yeah, like I'd say this year, that now that we're living together, I'd say that connection is starting to build even more, even because we spend time with each other off the pitch. For example, we go to hot yoga on a Sunday. It's been our routine for like the past month and a half. And that alone has helped us on the pitch and off the pitch, physically, in terms of like how we play together, all of that. And then with Matteo, it was more just like a instant type of thing where we connected just because we had both played in Italy, and then the club he was at, Bologna, I had gone on trial there, so I knew quite a few of the players and some of his teammates. So that was a easy point for us to talk about, and then we've kind of just hit it off since then. Like it's been pretty organic, but it's been nice.
That's fantastic to hear. And I want to stress, these are the kind of things, the hard-hitting news that people want to know, that you guys are doing hot yoga on your downtime. But that must be amazing, because obviously on the field, you guys spend so much time together in training. I was just at training today, saw you guys working so hard. You guys are all going after it. But when there's a lot of downtime in the world of football, right? I don't know, you get there in the morning, you watch film, you do your training, and then you have the rest of the day to yourself. You have a lot of time to either do the right things or get into trouble and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
it must be important to have those kind of connections both on and off the field.
Oh, 100%. And I think even just from a team standpoint, like doing stuff as a team off the field is going to be a massive thing as well. I'm sure Bobby has said in interviews numerous times that like he can give out the tactics, he can prepare us for the week, but when it comes to the 11 guys stepping on the pitch, once we step over that white line, it's kind of just up to us to perform and execute. So it's like the more tight-knit we are as a team and as a group, the easier it is for us to get through situations. And as you saw on the weekend, we were able to come back from being down and turn the game around and get 3 points. And like those types of things, it helps you in that situation. Obviously, we want to see that less often than we
You
could
know,
plan for that. Yeah.
we do want to see you guys explode out there once and just take the game right from the beginning to the end. That would be nice, but you guys do give us the drama, so we can't really complain.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, that's something we've got to do this year. But yeah, us being tight knit like that, it just makes the biggest difference as well. But football quality wins, hard work wins, and then chemistry takes everything over the top.
I think that's something that's phenomenal about this team, is going to the football side of it a little bit more. Watching you guys in the final last year be able to go goal down, and actually I was just talking to Nico about this. Most teams you see, maybe even in the earlier game, the earlier playoff game against Cavalry, when you guys beat them the first time, you saw when we scored, they kind of their shoulders dropped a little bit and they started to, maybe get a little bit nervous about what was going to happen. But it seemed like when Cavalry scored on you guys in the final, it was almost like, oh yeah, we're in a game now, time to turn it on, as opposed to getting panicked. It was almost like, now it's time to play. Is that a fair assessment, or do you guys just always feel like there it's never insurmountable?
No, that's a fair assessment. I'd say were pretty solid as a group mindset wise. In the end, football always wins, so something can happen that can be a setback, but we just say to ourselves like, yo, we need to just lock in and get it done. This weekend was another perfect example. I remember saying to Benny like, yo, let's go. Same thing to Borges, and next thing you know, both of them end up on the score sheet. It's
So
written this time.
basically, what you're saying is you're taking credit for getting them inspired to score the goals.
Oh, no chance, no chance. I'll just take credit for trying to keep everyone's heads up and heads positive, but that's all down to their footballing ability and then Bobby's tactic.
You know what? I absolutely love that. That the fact that everybody is like got each other's back, it really seems apparent on this team. Like nobody feels like they're kind of at a loss. They know their guys got them, and you guys are always ready to push on, push forward. And it shows in the results, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's something that's going to help us through the remainder of the season. You know, championships are won over 28 games, not over one game. You know,
Right.
28 games plus playoffs. So, you
Yeah.
know, if we can always be there for each other, no matter what, that's going to help us because anything can happen in a long season of football. For example, look at the Prem. It's crazy right now.
It's
It's up
insane
to
right now, right?
anyone. So, you know, we just have to stick together. Obviously, try and make more positive things happen than mistakes, but just know that if we do make mistakes and anyone makes mistakes, everyone's got your back and we're all gonna do what we can to get ourselves out of it.
I love that. And so going back to starting with this, so you signed on with this last year, in 2022, and you've been with the team for a while now. You've gotten a feel for it, but now you're becoming a bigger and bigger part of the team. So what does that mean? Like to me, like I didn't know exactly what to expect from you. You look solid every time you come on, but then here you are starting against like Mexican giants and Chivas and holding your own, if not like looking like you really belong out there. What was that like for you? And obviously it looked like you were ready for it, but in your heart and in your mind, what were you thinking going into like a game so massive like that?
For me, it was more so just take the opportunity. I've been blessed with the opportunity to play in a couple big games over the past two seasons with Forge, but this was more of a chance where it's like I can play in another big game, but now if I perform well, I can try and cement myself in the 11. So that was in my head as well. But for me, the biggest thing was just, yeah, take the opportunity, do well, and then let the rest take its course. If I do well, the coach has no reason to drop me and has to play me. So that was what my mindset was going into it. I've spent the last two seasons kind of understudying some great centre backs, some great defenders. So I was like, okay, this opportunity to try and be a front runner and try to do my thing. So yeah, that's all I'm gonna try to do.
That brings me actually to two things, two points to talk about. Being on this team for the last couple of years, you've seen, like you said, you've understudied under some pretty amazing defenders. What have you taken from each of the defenders and added to your game, or not even necessarily added to your game, but just to yourself as a profession?
I'd say the biggest thing, and the first and biggest thing, is consistency. They've been great defenders, and everyone knows them around the league or around Canada or wherever they've come from as
Right.
great defenders because they've been great defenders consistently. Me as a young player, that's something that, not even just myself, young players like Chris, Kwesi, KJ, like all of us need to take where it's like you have to be consistent in your position. Because, yeah, we want to play and you can play well match day five, but you have to keep doing that all the way to match day 28. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like the main thing I took from them. Obviously, there's small traits that I took from each and every one. Like, for example, Mandrakhar is a great defender on the ball and he does well getting forward. Garv is just so composed on the ball as well. He's calm, he knows when to make certain actions. And then Alex is just a great ball playing defender. So it's like, there's small things I've learned from each one. Daniel Crutzen, even he was left-footed.
Right.
He was kind of like the more fitting example for me in terms of how I would want to play on the ball. So it's like, you know, all these great things to learn from, and they've also been great mentors as well. Like they could just shove me to the side because I'm a younger guy and not really playing as much, but they've also been there to give me advice or to try and help me with certain things in my game. So, I've just been listening and taking in everything I can from them and observing what I can. But the main thing that I've tried to, you know, have for myself is just the consistency from everything, from the way I sleep, the way I work out, what I do when I'm in the training ground, how I train, and then would work that all the way down to how I play.
Well, sorry, a couple of things now coming out of that. Like just hearing those names, like to have learned from Mangiacar, Daniel Crutzen, Garvin giving you information, you know, like that's crazy to me, like the amount of experience that you've had at such a young age, like for this league, like those are like superstars, right? So to have come up understudying them, that's amazing. But now on top of that, Bobby's teams are known for their flexibility. So like the fact that you can play more than one position makes you like a key cog in the team. Right now you're playing center back. Where do you feel your strength or where do you like to be on the field? Is that where you want to be at all times, or is there some other spots you'd love to be?
Yeah, for me, my personal favorite is center back. There's a couple times I've had some fun at left back. For example, the two games against York last year,
Right.
Chivas was a fun game too. But for me personally, I prefer being a left center back. Left wing, left full back, sorry, is a little bit too much run for me.
That seems to be a reoccurring theme on this show is not loving the running.
Yeah, no. I mean, we have to do it and we will do it,
Right.
but it's not the best thing in the world.
You like rather get stuck in there back at center back.
Yeah.
Now, and that's interesting too. Like also when you brought up understudying under these big guys, it's something that's hard for me, having watched you play and know you've been around the club, like Chris Colongo, been around the club for a couple of years, a few years now. You seem like a steady member of the team. So we've seen you there for a while. But now thinking about that, you're only 21 years old. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, only 21 years old, but you seem like a veteran player on this side. So what is it about being on Forge that makes young guys, in your opinion, it makes young guys just feel like, hey, we're just a part of this and no big deal?
First, I gotta give credit to the older players in the team. Tal Becker, obviously Crutzen when he was here, Ashton Morgan when he was here, guys like Tristan Henry, Mandrakar, Dom, vets like Dav, all of these older guys in the core group, Borges, that have been at Forge, have they always make it kind of a seamless transition for you when you come into the club. And that is all that a player wants. Once you're comfortable and relaxed, you can, be confident and play your best football. So they help on that standpoint. And then credit to the coaching staff, all the coaches, Eddie, Coach Bobby, Coach Johan, Coach Kit, and now Coach Nikos. They all help us in terms of how we play and the way that the style of football that we play is pretty easy for us to learn with the way
Right.
that they explain it to us and help us with that. So with both of those things combined, there's really no way for you to fail at Forge, It may take a little bit longer to adjust, but there's no way for you to fail. You're going to get it eventually.
I love that. The fact that the coaching staff makes it, because I mean, from an outsider, I'm no tactician by any stretch of the imagination, but it looks pretty complex what you guys are doing out there and the way you guys are able to shift it to different formations and do different things with or without the ball and things like that. And even from game to game, matching up differently against a team that you have to face four times in a year. But you're saying that the way the coaches handle it, it makes it not that hard a thing to learn, if not master right away.
Yeah, 100%. The way the coaches handle it and then the way the players make you feel as well, just everything just works together perfectly.
I mean, I say this every time I have an interview. We're living in dreamland. Like these are the good old days. Like the fact that we have a team, a group of players, a core group of players, and a coach that just are all in sympatico like this, like so in sync, it's really quite incredible and something that we really got to hold on to while we have it, right?
Yeah, 100%. Whilst we have it, we just got to keep winning, keep making history,
Piece
keep
of cake.
elevating. And then, yeah, I mean, for this club, I don't think that's hard. We've been making history since day one, so keep
And
doing it.
that's just the goal, keep doing it going forward, right?
100%, 100%.
All right, we don't have a lot of time left in this interview, but I always want to know from a player's point of view. You've got a huge fan base now that's really following you guys. The game keeps growing here. What is something that you want fans of the Forge FC to know about you as a player and as a person?
Wow. I'd say as a player, I mean, I think that it's starting to become a bit obvious, but I love defending. I take pride in, clean sheets, making
Right.
defensive plays. So that's like one thing about me on the pitch. Like I love defending. Off the pitch, I'll say I can be quite a funny person. I like to crack jokes, make everybody laugh, and I'd say that I'm kind of a deceiving person, in not in a bad way, but in the sense that, like, for example, fashion and music are two things I love, and I have a very diverse music taste. I like all different types of genre. I wouldn't say country's a cup of tea, but like rock and roll, indie, alt, rap, all of that stuff. So yeah, if any of you guys have some good songs that you want to recommend to me, go ahead.
Perfect. That's the request we're going to put out for everybody on after the podcast. The question I'm going to ask is, what would you like to add to Malik's playlist,
There we go.
game day
There we
playlist?
go.
I love it. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's been amazing, and it's always great to get to know the players a little bit more in depth. So thanks for doing this, and we hope to have you back on the show again soon.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I'll be back anytime.
All right. Love it. Thank you.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
That was a blast. Big thank you to Malik for the interview today. And where are all my English and Italian soccer fans out here in Hamilton? We've been sleeping on this guy. I know he's going to be a big fan favorite, but he's already been here for a couple of years. This is his time to shine. And I also have some homework for you, all you Forge fans out there. You heard that Malik has a very diverse musical taste, so let's dig up some gems for him to listen to on game day. All right, thanks guys, and look forward to more interviews coming our way as we interview the stars, young stars, and veterans of the Forge FC. Thanks everyone. For now, the Hammer of Sparks is out.